ఫిఫ్టీయత్ అనివర్సరీ ఆఫ్ అరుణాచల ఆశ్రమ భగవాన్ శ్రీ రమణ మహర్షి సెంటర్ ఇన్ ద యుఎస్ఏ. ఆన్ డిసెంబర్ 8, 1966 ఇన్ న్యూయార్క్ సిటీ, ఫర్ ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్కార్పొరేటింగ్ ఏ భగవాన్ శ్రీ రమణ మహర్షి సెంటర్ పర్సువాంట్ ఆర్టికల్ 10 ఆఫ్ ద రిలీజియస్ కార్పొరేషన్ లా, అరుణాచల ఆశ్రమ వాస్ ఇన్కార్పొరేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ న్యూయార్క్. Article 18 of the bylaws reads, "The purpose of the center shall be to provide an educational and spiritual center for the study, pursuit and practice of the spiritual heritage bequeathed to mankind by the great sage Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi." To understand how this event came about and the instrument chosen to make it happen, we need to travel back in time at least 75 years to the popular Himalayan hill station of Darjeeling, India. Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat, the founder of Arunachala Ashrama, wrote about this in New York City on October 26, 1965. How Bhagavan came into my life. 1965, October 26th, New York City. It is the greatest thing for me to think of the way Bhagavan came into my life. It is a long story, but I shall try to describe it in a nutshell. It seems that right from my childhood, I have been tied to the lotus feet of Sri Bhagavan. That is why I have been drawn to the stories of seers and sages, while all along I have longed to experience God. Near around 10th October 1941, I received the Hindi book Gupt Bharat Ki Khoj, a Hindi translation of Paul Brunton's book A Search in Secret India. I did not know about the book. I had simply come across an advertisement of it in a Hindi magazine. I must have been drawn towards it because it contained the stories of seers and sages of India. From the moment the book landed into my hands, I was glued to it. And on finishing it, I decided to go down to South India to have darshan of Bhagavan Ramana. At that time, I was a teacher in Darjeeling and the winter vacation was near at hand. I was also at that time instinctively drawn towards astrology and was very much impressed with the description in the chapter written in the stars. As it turned out, I went to Ujjain to learn astrology instead of going to Arunachala for Bhagavan's darshan. With my mind's eye, I saw Bhagavan sitting in Arunachala and looking at me. He was pouring his grace on me, but he did not make it possible for me to go to him. Instead, I pursued the study of astrology. Although I spent some time in Ujjain and applied myself to astrology, I never wavered in my devotion to Bhagavan Ramana and tried my best to draw the attention of my teacher to the wonderful sage who was radiating his grace from Arunachala. In my hometown, I persuaded several friends to read the Hindi book and learn about Bhagavan. As a result, two school teachers went to Arunachala and were blessed by Bhagavan. I asked one of them on his return from Thiruvannamalai how he found the Maharishi. He told me that the devotees called him Bhagavan. I took down the name and address of the ashrama, and for the time being, my story ended there. I forgot all about Bhagavan and my desire to reach his lotus feet. Destiny took me to various other places and interests. Here, we must interrupt Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat's narration to briefly relate how he travelled from India to the USA in 1947. In 1943, when the British authorities discovered that the then principal of the Darjeeling Hindi School, Bhagavat Prasad Singh, had been imprisoned in 1929 for joining Mahatma Gandhi's non-cooperation movement, his security clearance to enter Darjeeling, a controlled, secured territory, was revoked. He then went to Calcutta and worked as a journalist. Bhagavat's childhood dream of traveling to America was fulfilled in the year India gained independence, 1947. He received a fellowship to attend the University of Iowa, where he completed a master's degree in journalism in 1949. He then took employment as the information officer at the Indian Embassy in Washington, D.C., and remained in the United States until 1959. An American organization had set up a hospitality program to welcome foreign diplomats to their homes with the sole purpose of introducing them to the American people and their culture. While Bhagavat was living in Washington, D.C. with his family, he befriended a family belonging to this organization who hosted them several times. It was at the residence of this host that the following story continues in Bhagavat's own words. On Wednesday, October 13, 1954, I was in the guest house cottage of a Quaker couple, Helen and Albert Bailey Jr., located on their farm in Westchester, Pennsylvania. The cottage was situated in a valley near their residence. On the second floor of the cottage, my wife, Yogamaya, our 15-month-old boy, and I were occupying the large wooden-framed bed that night. In the second half of the night, I saw Bhagavan Ramana sitting on the bed near my head. Although this was a dream, I saw it as clearly as the sun during the day, and remember it vividly. His famous figure was near my head, and his legs were dangling. Arunachala Shiva Bhagavan, Sri Ramana Maharishi, stayed near my head for quite a while, so I could drink deep in him. Bhagavan simply kept looking at me. I was filled with joy and happiness and could not turn my eyes away from him. I do not know how long this lasted, but once I woke up, I could not return to sleep and sat on the bed meditating on him. All morning and day, I kept on thinking of the darshan Bhagavan had given me in my dream. That first darshan of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi is even now as clear and distinct in my mind's eye as that of the blazing sun. During that vision, I was magnetically drawn towards Bhagavan as I gazed on him from head to foot and from foot to head. His majestic figure, the loincloth wrapped round his waist, a towel on his shoulder, and his hands and arms stretched towards me, captivated me beyond words. His brown body was shining, and I was being bathed in his divine grace. Even now, and all the time when I think of that Raj Darshan, Bhagavan comes alive for me. That dream enabled the sugar doll to be dissolved into the divine ocean of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi. Since then, I have not been the same Bhagavat I used to be. In the remotest part of Pennsylvania, surrounded by woods and trees, Bhagavan took hold of my life and I became a wayfarer on his path. When I tried to see Bhagavan, when he was in the body, he did not make it possible for me. But when he had left the body, more than 4 years had elapsed since his Mahanirvana. I was blessed by Bhagavan and he made me his disciple and devotee. Nay, he made me his very own. Since then, nothing has mattered in my life. Whatever I had tried to do and whatever profession I have endeavored to follow, it has been difficult for me. I can vouchsafe that Bhagavan has held me so tightly that I can't manage to escape from him. He is in me all the time and I am made to wade in his grace. The following night, Thursday, October 14, 1954, in the same cottage and in the same bed, another dream occurred to me during the second half of the night. I saw the word Upanishad written in bold Sanskrit letters on the top of a bundle of loose leaves. The traditional Sanskrit books used to be either written or printed on single leaves several inches long and a few inches wide. After I had read the word Upanishad, the leaves began to turn by themselves one by one, and they continued in that manner until I woke up from the dream. After this divine experience, I did not sleep again and kept on thinking of the two wonderful experiences which had blessed my life in that remote part of the world. Not only did Bhagavan give me darshan and initiate me to be his disciple, devotee and servitor, he also showed me the path through which I would be able to follow his upadesa. The two dreams are the two sides of the same shield. That shield in Bhagavan is Upanishad, and Upanishad is Bhagavan. Time and again, these wonderful experiences fill me with Bhagavan and his grace. When I try to go to him, I could not reach him. But when Bhagavan saw that the time had come, he took me to his jaws, just as the lion takes its prey. For 2 years after this experience, we continued to live in Washington, D.C., where I was employed. I obtained all the books concerning Bhagavan from his ashrama in Tiruvannamalai. Although I did not realize it then, the entire course of my life had undergone a change. I carried on the duties assigned to me, but my inner life and aspirations were never the same. I remember how I used to write to Bhagavan from Washington, expressing my devotion to him. I generally addressed all such letters to Bhagavan by name. I knew that he was no more in the body, and it was no use addressing these letters to him, but I was always inspired to write to Bhagavan. It was not so much to prove my devotion to him, but rather evidence of my faith that Bhagavan is as much present as he was when in the body. The practice of writing to him continues to this day. In 1957, I left Washington, D.C. and returned to my alma mater, the State University of Iowa. Someone had held out the promise of a teaching position for me in the Midwest, but it never materialized. That was the beginning of a long time of trials and travails, which have taken me to many places. The more Bhagavan got hold of my life, the more worldly and material problems began to plague me and my family, and we were put to the severest tests. It was in the quest of the non-existent teaching position that all our savings were exhausted, and we were forced to fall back upon the charities of others. But The divine bliss of the silent sage of Arunachala was with me all the time. He always protected me. While I was chasing the mirage of teaching Indian culture in an American college, professional complications were piling up and I did not see a ray of hope. My limited resources were rapidly depleting and I was so much obsessed with the idea of getting the teaching position that I was bewildered. About this time in 1957, at the University of Iowa, I saw a dream which is as clear today as it was at the time I saw it. I was in a forest where I saw a swift mountain stream in front of me. I kept looking at the water, which was crystal clear, so clear I could easily see the bed of the stream. As I looked on, I saw a black snake sprawled in the water, on account of which I could not think of crossing the stream. I was afraid. Instantly, Bhagavan Ramana appeared before me, lifted me on his shoulders, and literally carried me across the stream, setting me down on the other side. That showed me how Bhagavan had taken hold of my life and that he was there all the time to protect me from any kind of harm. It so happened that we returned to India in February 1959. We lived in my village and the world of cold, corrugated cement and concrete was replaced by the village life. Continued in the January-February 2017 issue.